You are listening to episode 97 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Pebble and Other Stuff. As a friendly reminder, I work for HP, but I do not represent HP.
Yes.
The reason why I'm providing this friendly reminder is because HP has launched a new notebook.
Woo!
Slatebook. Thing. I don't know. Tablet with a keyboard. What's that? It feels like a notebook.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a new, and here's why I'm having trouble articulating it. It's an Android-based Slatebook PC. Remember how we were talking about detachables the other day where the screen comes off of the keyboard?
Yeah.
They, HP has a bunch of those. The HP Envy is one. That actually I think looks pretty cool. It's got a hybrid thing. That's a Windows 8. This, as I said, is Android. So, this was our, first foray into the Android convertible market with it. It's pretty cool. It's got a 10.1-inch screen. Big display, 224 pixels per inch. It's got a Tegra 4 core processor, 16 gigabytes solid hard drive, 2 gigabytes of system memory. It's pretty cool. It's got Android 4.2, and for $480.
You see, what I think is most interesting about this story is the fact that you're basically giving a commercial for the HP Android-based slate book, and it doesn't fit our normal like things. But HP's not paying us, and we're not going to sell very many of these. Just, I mean, realistically, we don't have a big enough audience to make an appreciable difference to HP. So what I like about it is that it shows that you actually like the product. You're excited about what HP is doing, which is interesting because, I mean, frankly, I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but
I can say this, and feel fine, whoever listens to it. I'm not crazy about Windows 8, in case you missed that little memo. But I think, and I get really torn, because I think some of the hardware that HP is coming out with is genuinely cool.
Right.
From just, I look at it and it's like, you know, I'm stuck with Windows for work. I don't have a choice. You know, that's the way we are. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, if I could get like an Envy for work, that would be very cool. Because I'm stuck with Windows. And I would still, whatever, I'd have to have 8. But I recognize I'm going to have to switch over to Windows 8 someday anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the hardware that they're doing is cool. I'll never see this as an employee. they don't like me that much. But you know, that's the way it is. I think the hardware is cool. I think some of the things that the way that they're approaching these, you know, different operating systems are cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so now they're coming out with hey, this is Android. It's not Windows 8. It's Android with a keyboard, essentially.
Right.
I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You know, and obviously Android is very popular. A lot of people use it. It would be interesting to see what type of, not being on the Android ecosystem, I just don't know, like what kind of word processing options there are for it. Are there any spreadsheet things for Android? Probably not, because there's not really any for iOS either. And don't you dare tell me that Numbers counts, because it doesn't. But I think it's cool that they're... the other part that I like about it,
yeah.
And this is just from a, you know, this is truly from an employee standpoint, is we're diversifying, getting away from Microsoft, making it a little more interesting, saying, hey, let's be friends with Google here.
Right.
And, let's start up this relationship.
For the record, word processing, if you really want to use word processing on your Android tablets, I recommend Pages in iCloud. You laugh, but
can you do that on your...
Yeah, it works best in Chrome. It actually works better in Chrome than it does in Safari, which I think is fast. Yeah, because I was using it on my Windows 7 computer. And I opened up Safari and Chrome, and it actually told me it launched a warning on Safari. This browser is not optimized for this browser. We recommend you use Chrome instead. was like, are you serious? Well, I decided to try it out. Yeah, it renders it wrong. Like, when you do italics, it, like, throws up random Unicode text onto the screen. Huh. It doesn't render it properly. Which I was like, what the heck? This is fascinating. They've actually decided that they want to build it for Chrome. That's the whole point.
They probably figured out that if you're running Safari, chances are you're on a Mac.
Right.
That's the application. So why spend your time developing for it?
That's the thing. Is that it makes sense what they're doing and why they're doing it. But I thought that was fascinating. More to the point, it's the same rendering engine for Chrome on the tablet. So there's no reason to think it wouldn't work on a tablet, though. I haven't actually tested it. I will say this. I used it all.
Icon, so it's probably there.
I used it all week. This is apropos of very little, tangentially related. I've used Pages all week. I decided that I've been writing more recently, and I decided I was going to buy a Mac. So let's just try it out. Let's see what happens. And I've always wanted to
be. What did I get myself into?
I know. I've always wanted a mobile text editor, and so I decided to, let's put all this together. I got the iPad Mini. I'm getting the iMac. Let's try iCloud beta. And they went into the beta.
Why not?
And yeah, so it's great. It's really cool. I like it a lot. It's very responsive.
Wait, on the browser
in
or
the browser?
The apps.
The browser. The apps are good, too. I mean, the apps are fine. There's nothing,
as long as you don't have to share them with anybody, you're fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. But
you can share with me, I'll be able to open them.
Yeah. Well, the one nice thing that I'm doing I'm writing books. There's really not much of a purpose. It's exportable as a doc, which there's no special it's not that there's no special formatting for books, it's that there's standard formatting, and it exports fine, you know. And so it's like, for what I'm doing, the particular purpose, it actually is like one of the few things where you really do have the flexibility to go between. It works, but I like it, dude. It's a slick program. I've thought that for a long time, and I think I'm excited about it. That actually was like that $20 app, Word or Pages. I mean, was one of the reasons why I wanted to get a Mac. That and programming, which is not the greatest reason, but there's a whole bunch of reasons. But my entire ecosystem is Mac. It's Apple. It's about time that I stop fighting the trend.
I understand. So anyways, HP came out with this.
Nice job.
I thought it was cool.
It is cool.
I think they're doing some good stuff with hardware. Very compelling things. And I think this stands a chance to, to make an impact on the Android world, add the fragmentation a little bit.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see HP on that chart, selfishly.
Yeah. Understandably.
But anyways, that's it.
Cool, cool, cool.
End of that commercial.
Yeah. So, okay, you already talked about that one. All right. Don't plug your iPhone into strangers' power devices unless you trust them, because they're probably going to try to steal all your stuff and put viruses on your iPhones.
Through a charger?
Yeah. The Black Hat conference is going on right now, which is always fun to pay attention to. Basically, a bunch of hackers and what? Well, the reality of it is the Black Hat conference is a giant security conference, and they basically allow people to come in and say, "Hey, these are the crazy, dirty things that I've been doing, and please don't get me in trouble for it." And they kind of it's one of those. It's a weird compromise where. They're basically a bunch of people that are presenting security flaws that they've found that under many circumstances the fact that they found them required them to be trying to do something malicious, and or legally they would be found to be doing something malicious, even if they weren't doing it for malicious purposes. And this is kind of a, I'm not going to tell you how I found it. I'm just going to tell you what I found, and don't get me in trouble for it. So all the different tech companies and the government shows up. The NSA was actually asked to not be present during the initial days of the conference, though their reps have been allowed in since.
So they can recruit. That's why.
Yeah. And usually the NSA is there. I mean, they're you know, that's a big thing that they do. They want to know what people are trying to attack. So
they can get in on that.
Yeah. So how are you tapping
into that phone?
How did you do that? It's interesting.
Tell me more about that backdoor trick.
Show me everything, and then don't.
Let's just say hypothetically, we wanted to, you know, stop it or do it ourselves. We wanted to study it and replicate it.
Yeah. See that's what's so weird. That's what's so funny about it is it's not – they weren't telling the NSA to not come in because they were afraid of getting in trouble with the NSA. They were wondering what they wanted the NSA to know how to do what they were trying to do. That's like, wow, you guys – NSA, you have got a bad rap when the bad guys don't want you around.
We're not afraid that they'll stop us.
Yeah.
We're afraid that they will actually copy us and use it against us.
Yeah. It's crazy. But one of the big thing, one of the big announcements.
Only in America.
Right. I know.
Only in America.
What's
that line? You know, a symbol of your freedom cannot just be the flag. A symbol of freedom must be the right to burn your own flag.
Yeah.
It has that same tone to it. I'm not going to go down that path.
Yeah. So one of the things that came out while they were there is it was somebody created a little charging device that would charge your iPhone. A little USB, you plug it in, charges your iPhone. Well, it turns out that it's got a little microprocessor in that allows them to communicate with the iPhone, and without rooting it, allows them to or jailbreaking it, as the parlance of today's youth, and it allows them to download malicious invisible apps that allows them to get all sorts of information. Basically, allows them to put viruses on the phone. It's a gigantic security hole in iOS 6. Apple was like, you guys want to talk about maybe looking at iOS 7? Because I think we might have fixed it with iOS 7, which is basically Apple's way of saying, give us a second. we're gonna fix that really quick. Sounds like Apple's going to fix it. They're probably going to release a patch this week or next week because it's a gigantic. It's bad news bears. But it sounds like Apple is fixable. It's a 0-day flaw, but it's not unpatchable, and it'll be coming out soon. So when you get your little iOS update for all your iPhone users out there, go ahead and update that. That one's an important one. It's a security patch. But on the flip side, that also means that people are now going to definitely realize they realize it's a 0-day flaw, and anybody who's interested in trying to get onto iPhones are probably going to try to put that out in the next couple of months. ASAP, put those in public locations so that you get all messed up. So basically don't do that. That's a bad idea. That's what I'm trying to get at. So practice safe sex.
Safe.
Yeah.
Plugging in.
Exactly.
So the title of this is a little weird. It says, How Google Glass May Change the NFL. And in my opinion, it's not going to be Google Glass that does it, but what it does is it shows what could happen, which I meant to watch some of these videos, and I just didn't, but that's okay. The Oakland Raiders punter, Chris Clue, I think is how you pronounce his name, has been wearing Google Glass during practice.
Oh, nice.
And he's been taking videos and uploading them to YouTube because that's what you do. And essentially what it gives you is a first-person point of view film of what he sees on the field. So you see the ball, you know, coming in, he kicks it, boom, it's gone, as he would see it. That's what it is. And And so they're, you know, they're positing, dude, this could be something, you know, he's like, it's comfortable. It can take a hit. I could wear this during games even.
Yeah.
And they're just like, whoa, that could be kind of cool. And I just took it to the next step and went, all right, all right, all right. What if this just opens the door and like ESPN or whoever teams up with the NFL and says, dude, let's put point of view cams inside of football helmets and let's make that one of the views. Just like, you know, the camera that goes over the field, like the all the other cameras that they have. This yeah. is just, we'll just add to the mix. And maybe you don't start with all 22 because that sounds like a ton of content you have to manage. But, you know, obviously start with a quarterback. That's an easy one. A running back would be – the running backs would be pretty fun. And maybe even the linebackers would be interesting to catch yeah. their point of views. But I'm like, dude, that would be so awesome if you get some awesome play where the running back is spinning and jiving and you know, and hitting the hole and bust through. And you're like, all right, let's see what he saw.
Yeah,
and
that would be really
throwing up
cool.
while he spins and you're able to – you know, just watch the lines move.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my gosh, I see nothing.
Well, I mean, it's a very cool, but, they do that every once in a while, like in commercials and stuff. It's a cool perspective. So it's, you know, it's definitely what
yeah,
I look forward
and
to.
And I'm
is,
not saying it's like, it's not the only one. That's part of the highlight. And, you know, the refs, if they're like, I don't know, was he out or not? I don't know. See what the closest guy saw.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing. That's the other thing. And it'll, the more and more cameras you get on the field, the more and more complete, you know, 3D versions, you know, like complex actual, like, you know, the entire, you can build all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah, that'll be fun. I mean, that's not surprising that they're going that direction, but I'm sure that they'll get more and more into it. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, oh, that's pretty fun. So I'm watching this video here. It's literally, he's like, all by himself. No one hangs out with him. Oh, dude, that's so sweet. Yeah, because you watch come and you're just like, whoa, you almost want to put your hands up to catch
yeah.
the football. You
know? That's
and
awesome.
Then you're like, you're there, you can, and this is kind of, because you can like, the NFL logo is just like, boom, right there for half a second. And it, you know, as he's holding it, right, or as he drops it to kick it, and then
right.
he looks up to follow it, you're like, oh, wow. Oh, I'm,
it's
as
like
a football
right
nerd,
yeah,
that's cool.
That
like, oh,
cool.
yeah, I can get into that. I like it. So anyways, they're talking about Google Glass. I think it has a – I don't think Google Glass will be the one that does it, but I do definitely see it as, you know, something to be done in the future.
Right. No, that's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. Another speaking of future thing, and this kind of gets back to – we'll wrap it all the way around to the cars. They're talking about coming out with hybrid airplanes. In the future. That's cool, right? So the idea is, and it's a combination, they're figuring out how to be more effective. They're like, you can't just have a full electric airplane. It just, the amount of thrust that's required to take off, like, it just doesn't work. But I said that they could make a hybrid one where they, you know, essentially it's got the traditional motors on it, and it's got generators in the back that are capturing air that recharge the batteries, which then, you know, run the engines. Think hybrid car, but for airplanes. And their old thing
weird.
Is it could be super fuel efficient. While they're at it, they figure out how to integrate the motors more into the body of the plane to reduce drag, to add even more of it. There's the design company. They're soon to rename themselves as Airbus Group next year. They've been working with Rolls-Royce on the concept to make it work. But yeah, there was one other thing. I just thought it sounded cool. I was like, oh man, hybrid planes, that would be neat. Except to think, like, the thing that would make it even better that doesn't require an entirely new type of airplane would be just to integrate GPS into airplanes so they can fly more direct routes
yeah.
instead of, you know, they can get closer together. They don't have to go over big fly patterns to try to avoid each other.
You don't have to worry about air or pilots coming into SFO a couple feet too low
too slow.
Yeah,
stuff like that. That's definitely the direction they're going with planes. Plane fleets take so long to turn over that it's a much bigger deal and it takes longer, but that's where it's going to go. What I think is
talking 2030, we could start to see these things in actual production.
That'd be cool. I want to really read more about this because it doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, to clarify just a little bit how, you know, why they say you can't get enough thrust with an electric motor is because it's because of the nature of the fact that these are rocket engines. They're jet engines. And essentially what happens is the simplest concept is you have a void, air comes in, and in that void you have it expand, it creates a low pressure area, you inject in a slow moving area, you inject gas, ignite the gas, it creates a huge amount of heat and energy, and then you bring it back through a thrust nozzle, and that is what gets you all the thrust. The trick, though, is that air has to be going at a certain speed, otherwise thrust starts to come out the front and the back. So it already has to have a certain speed, which is why the V1 rockets and the V2 rockets the V1 rockets with the Germany, when they were initially doing this, they'd always launch them from a pad because they had to get them up to a certain speed in order to get the rocket, in order to get the jet engines working. And so they just fling them fling them really fast as a glider, then the jet would take off and then go bomb people. And how we get around that with airplanes and why you see the big old turbines, the big fan, and then they have the little thing on the inside. Essentially what we do is the turbines get the air up to the proper speed they bring it into the jet where they inject the fuel.
I knew that.
That jet point, and it sounds like what they're going to do is they're basically going to say, we're going to have, instead of having a gas motor that runs the turbine and the jet engine, we're just going to have the jet engine. I want to read more because that's interesting. But that's why they're saying you need fuel. There's no way to heat the air up fast enough with electricity. You got to use a chemical reaction in order to get enough heat in order to get the thrust that you require out of the jet engines. That's interesting. I'll read more. Maybe we'll get back to it if it's interesting.
And they said they're trying it out with a smaller plane as well. Because, you know, it's a concept. It's less complicated when it's smaller. It's cheaper probably too.
That's the big one.
But
very cool. Very, very cool. So Apple is in trouble. I'm not an Apple fanboy completely because I don't like iBooks. I like the Kindles. And thankfully, I bet right in investing in the Kindle ecosystem because Apple was evidently price fixing and engaging in anti-competitive behaviors, and now it's going to be ugly. Basically, the title of this article is Apple Faces 5-Year Ban for Ebook Price Rigging Conspiracy, which is not fun for Apple. Basically, what they're saying, though, is that they're not allowed to, work with any of the publishers that they worked with where they created these like crazy pricing things. And there's all these sorts of different ways that they're being forced to not be anti-competitive. That will probably not totally limit the iBooks won't necessarily, it's not like iBooks won't have the titles that it wants. Basically, it's just that from a pricing perspective, they're going to need outside people making sure that their pricings are coming from the right channels and everything. And there's just going to be a lot more scrutiny on it. And they're not allowed to write contracts specific with companies. There's where they're we'll sell this many books and stuff. But the big one, the biggest one that's come out of all of this is that the judges basically said, hey, you know how you won't let Amazon and Barnes & Noble sell stuff through their app? Yes, you can't do that anymore. That's the exciting one. So now Amazon is going to be able to set up reopen their Kindle bookstore within the app, which is cool because it's only vaguely annoying, but it's kind of annoying that I have to...
got to go to Safari to do it.
Yeah, exactly. But it'll be interesting to see if they apply that to just
ebook thing, so because I'm sure that's all the ground Apple's going to want to give on it,
yeah.
Or if it's going to open it up for other developers in other markets, you know, like I don't know, music players to open up music stores within. Yeah, that would be
or app could stores. Be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Apple's going to fight tooth and nail to prevent that because it's one of the things that helps them guarantee their income sources. But it sounds like the Kindle will have that, and I'm sure once it's there for a while, people won't be willing to give it up. So that's kind of cool. Good times. Nice job, Apple. Being all anti-competitive and stuff. Apple's claiming they're draconian punishments and they're going to try to repeal them, but this one's not going Apple's way. they keep fighting, but I think they keep fighting because they realize they did something wrong and their only way to have it not be a complete disaster is to fight it tooth and nail. And they have enough money that they can, and so they're going to try to. They're not going to cut their losses. They're going to try to end in as good a position as they can.
And that's worth fighting for.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think that they're fighting because they know they're in the wrong. Especially at this point. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. And finally, wouldn't it be great to just be able to beam up and arrive nearly instantaneously someplace else?
It would be great, Scotty.
Well, too bad.
Dang it. That's unfortunate.
I know. I got bad news. We're ending on a bad note. We'll have to counter this somehow. But researchers have studied this, of course.
Yeah.
Apparently, there are 6 times 10 to the 9th bits of information in the human genome.
That's and a since lot of humans bits of are
diploid, that means that it's actually 1.2 times 10 to the 10 bits per cell.
Okay.
Okay. Theoretically, one cell's worth of data should be enough to reconstruct an entire person. But even still, that's a lot of data.
Yeah.
And then they're like, and it's not even the, like, that's only one of the issues. But they were saying, like, that's a lot of data. They were saying, even at the top of the super high frequency range, using quad structure phase shift keying, whatever that means, like, it would take a really, 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 really long time to do it. Approximately 4.8 times 10 to the 15th years to transfer the data of you somewhere else.
Well, yeah, that seems obvious to me. What I think is interesting about this is that what they're really saying, I don't mean to attack you right at the last moment.
No.
But
there's three basic things. I mean, I can say them or you can.
Go for it.
But they're saying, like, A, we don't have the storage capacity to do all of that. B, even if we did, the transfer would take super long and it would take too much energy. That's the other little thing that they throw out. And then C, and this one's kind of really the big one, like, even if we were able to do all of that, we still can't copy the state of your brain. So you'd show up kind of blank slate.
Well, so and I'm gonna throw this out there as a I mean this in the nicest possible way, but this is a stupid article. No, it's optimistic. I've got optimistic news. Basically, what's going on here is there's everything that I've ever read. It's an interesting study in that it tells you how much data is stored in a single human and the state of a single human, which is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But the two primary like thoughts that I've always read on transportation would be one would be the destroying a human and recreating a human in another place. And that would be your teleportation, which is kind of freaky. But what this one suggests that it's trying to do is that it's like straight up fully cloning your state. That's what they want to be able to do. We'll be able to replicate you many times or whatever we want to do, which is kind of freaky in and of itself. And I don't know too many physicists that have actually suggested that that is a practical means of doing it. And then there's always the actual idea of transferring the complete package of matter without deconstructing it and understanding it. which there's not a lot of physics that suggests that would be really easy outside of wormholes, and that's really not easy by any state of the event, you know. But that would negate the data transfer issues that they're talking about. But the one that actually does seem sort of practical is the idea that there is a quantum principle that you could, and this is what I've heard, where you basically could entangle two bits and use one end of the entanglement to destroy a human and the other one to put another piece in that same state as you go, electrons, protons. This is incredibly, like, esoteric physics, but theoretically, it would only take the time to destroy the person to remake the person on the other side. And so there's no actual data transfer, and as long as if you had enough little styluses going at the same time, destroying and rebuilding in parallel, you would rebuild all the electrons, protons, neutrons, everything in the same place, in a different place, but the same state, same spin, same everything. And if you do it perfectly, you basically come with your brain in the same state. And the reason why it would work is because all you have to do is you don't actually have to know the state. You're just moving it. So what I'm saying here is optimistically, it will never, ever happen in our lifetime. But
it won't happen that way.
Yeah.
But it could
happen. They're basically saying one way of doing it isn't possible, which is like, thanks. Thanks, guys. That's awesome.
Glad to know that.
Yeah, basically they wanted to tell you that they figured out how much data that it would take to store an entire person, which is interesting, but it totally negates the idea of data compression. There's no data compression there. They're just saying this is how many – whatever. It drives me nuts. I feel like these physicists should be fired. These are not Nobel laureates.
Maybe not the physicists, but the article writer, perhaps.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
On a weak note.
No, you know what? It's true optimism. It's not that it's weak.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. We'll end it on a better note. Pebble's awesome. Go get one.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm done. All right. So you're traveling sometime soon, right?
Yeah.
You have to worry about that.
We do, but not too much. I should be I'm going to be traveling next Sunday, but I should be able to do it either Saturday or Sunday morning. So there will be a podcast with me fully attent and not like super sleepy like I was last time, because I won't be broadcasting from Lincoln, England. And then the Sunday after that will be my birthday, and there's a decent chance I will be hungover, but hopefully by the evening I will nurse myself back to full health. And
okay. All right. Awesome. Okay. On that particular note, everybody, I'll be here. Thank you for joining us. I am James Furlow. My brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time.
What the heck?
Let's do it, man.
Oh, you were typing in order to make it go silent. Is that what happened?
No, I muted myself. Oh,
okay.
I got a mute button.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Watch.
Cool. Whoa, I can't hear you.
And now, but now you can hear me.
I have a mute button, too. I just... Yeah, see?
It works. Okay. Maybe you were hitting it last week a bunch of times. Ooh, that was a low blow.
It was a low blow.